How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in to the broadcast again this week, and we're continuing our study in John chapter 10. We left off last time at verse number 29, and I'm going to back up here a little bit so we can get the context here. Verse 22, John 10, 22. And it was at Jerusalem that the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. Verse 23, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, or the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, that one that had been prophesied, tell us plainly. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe me not. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And so we got to this point last time, the Lord Jesus dealing with these that have come here to him while he was in the temple, and they've said, tell us plainly. Of course, the Lord's been telling them. He's been telling them for quite some time in his ministry. He's preached to them. He's done miracles. He says here that the works that he's doing in his Father's name, they're telling that I am the one. There's been none that has ever come like Jesus has come. That one in the spirit of Elijah has come, John the Baptist, and they just have rejected it. They can't hear it. And here's why. He says, they believe not because they're not of his sheep. He said, his sheep hear his voice, and they follow. They obey. We've seen that and looked at that last time. He gives to them, to the sheep, eternal life. They'll never die, they'll never perish, and neither shall any pluck them out of his hand. Verse 29, this is where we're picking up this time. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So here the Lord Jesus Christ, this oratory that he has towards these fellas that come upon him, he's telling them plainly. And again, as we mentioned last time, it's only Jesus that can know about the sheep. We are commanded to preach the gospel. That's what the Lord's people, the Lord's ministers, the Lord's churches have been given to do, is preach the gospel, preach the good word of the good word of God, the seed, sow that seed, and the Lord will take it, make it effectual, and use it. It is the Lord that saves sinners. He says in verse 28, he gives eternal life. These fellas can't hear it because they're not his sheep. Only the Lord can know that. We're commanded to preach to every creature. And then he says here in verse 29, my Father which gave them me. Okay? It's interesting to look in the scriptures, and it would be a good study about the gifts in the scripture. The gifts of God, namely. John 3:16, which we've reviewed here, is very familiar with folks. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we see that reflection and the understanding that we have about God being one, yet he manifests himself to us in three persons. He gave his Son. He gave his Son for sinners so they might be saved. Here, the Father, verse 29, which gave them me, the Father has given the sheep to the Son. There is a known entity there. There's a known number there that the Father has given to the Son. He's done that. He gave. He determined the gift. He's given them to the Son. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Here in the King James version, translation of the scripture, there's some words added there by the translators that help us with the thought. Sometimes they do help, sometimes they don't help. But let's read that without those italicized words. Again, those italicized words are added by the translators to help with understanding, but let's read it without that. My Father, which gave me, is greater than all, and no is able to pluck out of my Father's hand. See, when the Lord does something, when God the Father has given to the Son this these sheep that have are a gift to him, that the Lord Jesus Christ made plain that he came to die for, not for goats, but for sheep. The atonements in the scripture, in the Old Testament scripture, every sacrifice given was for a known purpose, a known person, a known entity. It had directive behind it. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is for a known purpose and a known people, known only to God, but it is so. It's a testimony to sinners about the greatness of our depravity and the greatness of our sin. Had the Father not chosen sheep before the foundation of the world to give to the Son, there would be none saved. But because we were all separated from God and sinners and wicked, the Lord knew what Adam would do. The Lord knew what would happen to mankind. And don't be quarreling and fussing with God about that, because we've got to remember, God is not a man like we are. This is his creation. This is his order. This is the way he's doing things. And he determined that he would save a people that he would give to the Son. And no is able to pluck out of my Father's hand. The Lord God Almighty, God the Father, gave unto the Son a people. He calls them sheep, and they hear him, and they obey him, and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father knows them, and no one can change that. No one can pluck them out. See, this is, again, the great thing that our salvation, if you're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, you've repented of your sins, you've trusted in Jesus, he saved your soul, you are secure eternally in him. Because, see, this is the work of God. This is the operation of God, as the scripture tells us in Colossians chapter 2. And then it goes on here in verse number 30, I and Father are one. I and my Father are one. So, the Son came to earth and became a man. Yet the Father and the Son are one, because God is one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are the great three in one. The magnificent, the greatness of God is just beyond mortal, carnal comprehension. And God has condescended to us in his word to help us to understand a little bit more about him by representing himself unto us in this way. The trichotomy of God. The trichotomy of man. There's parallels there, and that's a subject for another time. Now here we go in verse number 30. Everything is turned around. Today, men don't want to hear about the sovereignty of God. They don't want to hear about the purpose and work of God before eternity, before the foundations of the world. And it makes men mad today. The thing is what men need to do, what we need to do is we just need to submit to the Lord and hear the message that has been given, repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Lord Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, in the beginning of his ministry, repent ye, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. That's what men are commanded to do. The working of God is in his hands, and we need to leave that in his hands. We need to preach what the Lord has given us to preach, and sinners need to hear it and believe it and trust and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls. Now, when the Word of God and when the Lord Jesus and when the Scriptures tell us about the working of God otherwise and before time and such as that, that need not make us angry unless we're wanting a salvation that we're in control of. That need not make us get red-faced and make our blood pressure go up unless we want to have a God that we're in control of. And that's naturally what man wants. He wants a God that he's in control of, that he can tell what to do and when. He wants to have a part in his own salvation. He wants to bring himself up by his bootstraps. But see, sinner, We need to understand how bad off we are without the Lord. We're sinners, lost and undone, hopeless. And the Lord has sent His Son to be a Savior for sinners. Do you hear the call of the Lord? Do you hear that still small voice of the Lord showing you that you are a sinner, that you are without hope in and of yourself? Do you hear that still small voice of the Lord and the Word of God speaking to you about how the Father sent the Son to be a Savior for sinners like you? Do you hear the Lord saying to you, repent, repent before me and believe in my Son and be saved? Do you hear the calling of the Lord? Or do you take up and bristle up in your own humanity and your own power and want to balk and fight against God and the great purpose and word of God? To doubt God, to doubt the message that He sent. Remember, this whole thing about sin all started because of pride and doubt. The pride of Satan and the doubt that he was able to cause to Adam and to Eve and to Adam about what? What God has said. That's how this whole thing of sin and death and the misery that's experienced on this earth and hell that's been prepared, the lake of fire that's been prepared for the devil and his angels, which also all those without Christ will be cast into after the great white throne judgment. It's all come about because of sin. And sin has come about because of doubt of the Word of God. And so here in verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They are vehement. They want him dead. They are crowded in their religion. Yes, their religion, the way that they have made. Oh, they've taken the Word of God, but they've taken it and twisted it and wrested it and adapted it to their own thing that they're comfortable with, that they're in control of. And the Lord Jesus says, you don't even know God. And that's manifested because you won't hear what I have to say. So they take up stones to stone him again. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? So the Lord lays it on the line. I've done several good works. I've healed sinners. I've made people that were blind to see. I've caused the dead to come to life. I've caused lepers to be cleansed and healed. I've healed the sick of whole towns. They brought the sick unto me, and I've healed them all. I've saved sinners from their sins. I've given joy and peace within through the salvation that I am bringing and will bring. For which of those works are you going to stone me? Let it be known, for which of these good works are you going to stone me? And the Jews, verse 33, answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And there is the issue. Yes, what did it say in John chapter 1? So very clearly, and it had been promised in the book of Isaiah and many other passages, a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son. His name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. That's it. God came down and was in the flesh. In John chapter 1, verse 14, we saw it. And the Word, which was with God in the beginning, which was God in the beginning, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, John writes, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, the only one born to the Father, to God Almighty, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of sinners, King of kings and Lord of lords, the judge of all the earth. And he saved a wretch like me. How about you? Repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ. Well, see, their time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.